Well, it's the largest organ of the body and it contains three layers, the epidermis, dermis and subcutis. I am, of course, speaking about skin. We're told to look after it from a very young age. Slap on sunscreen, wear a hat at a minimum. But others in life, they might go to greater lengths to preserve and promote it. They might zap it, fill it, fix it, inject it. I don't know, you tell me. I'm really keen to get your stories today. We're going to be speaking more specifically about pigmentation. Do you have it? Perhaps it popped up after pregnancy or a certain stage in your life. Do you know the difference between a sunspot, pigmentation, melasma, a skin cancer? Do you get it lasered? Are you aware of the risks? So many questions. You might have some as well. Please do call. The number is 1300 222 702, because dermatologist Ritu Gupta is with me to answer all the questions. Hi there, Ritu.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Yeah, look, I'm great. Thank you. And I'm thrilled that we're doing this because as I look at my skin, my face in the mirror some days, I'm like, oh, that's another sunspot that's pinked, that's popped up there. But I really don't know if it's a sunspot, an age spot, melasma, pigmentation. So I might start with the question, what is pigmentation?
Well, I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Catherine. The whole point is you don't know and you're not equipped to know. So there's no reason to expect yourself to know. What I say to patients is, if you notice something new, something changing, it needs to be looked at. So pigmentation comes in many forms, and it really depends upon whether it's one spot or whether it's multiple, you know, brown splodges. So if it's a single spot, I mean, there are so many things it could be. It could be a melanoma. It could be a mole that is becoming abnormal, what's called a dysplastic nevus. It could be a pigmented precancerous sunspot. It could be a pigmented skin cancer. It could be a spot of sun damage. It could be a flat age spot. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. So the very first step is diagnosis. Now, if someone's got lots of pigmented spots, sure, it might be simple sun damage, but sun damage comes in lots of different subtypes, and how it's treated is wholly and solely dependent upon which cell type it's in the skin and which level it is in the skin. Yeah. And a lot of people that I see are treated incorrectly, and they come in and they've actually got other conditions, like they might have melasma, which you referred to, which is a hormonal condition. They may have another rarer condition called lichen planus pigmentosis. So really, it all begins and ends with diagnosis, assessment and diagnosis.
Yeah. So given that that is the landscape that you're painting, if you notice something on your skin, head straight to the GP and then for potentially a referral onwards. Is that what you would recommend?
Yeah. Yes. If you notice something new, I mean, because basically we're not really expecting any new brown splodges and change in any moles or say a spot that is not healing and you think, oh, I've knocked it. But if it hasn't gone, essentially you know your skin well and you usually know your partner's skin well. So if something catches your eye, don't ignore it. You know, it may be a benign thing for sure, but at least get it assessed.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? So you might go to the GP, which is easier to get into than, say, a dermatologist.
Yes.
Because the experience is that their wait lists can be extremely long. So how does someone who has something they're worried about, the GP sends off the referral, but it's still a 3-4 month wait to get in to a dermatologist if you can afford the private system?
Well, look, I suppose the point is that if the GP sees something that they're concerned about, if it's within their area of interest and ability, they might biopsy it themselves, or they'll pick up the phone and they'll get you into a dermatologist.
Right.
So, you know, that's the short answer. I mean, doctors usually, I mean, we do our best for patients all the time. And so I think any good GP is just going to say, look, don't worry, I'll get that sorted out for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know myself, I leave spaces every day for new patients and also for urgent patients. It is true that the urgent spots, that has to be a GP who rings.
Yes.
Just because, you know, we can't have people. I used to leave them open, and then I had people, like, you know, booking themselves in for an urgent spot because they wanted to miss the Friday evening traffic before they headed off to their holiday home. So I stopped that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so on the topic of pigmentation, there's lots of things it could be, and there's lots of treatments.
Yes. So I want to ask about that, because it seems like there's a laser clinic on every corner these days.
True.
There's a huge proliferation of them. And I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying that they're good. But we know that a lot of people go to them. Is there a problem with that? If someone thinks they've got pigmentation, they just want to get it lasered off, are there risks associated with that?
Of course there are risks. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's about the knowledge and expertise of the person who is treating you. So if they're not equipped to make the diagnosis, they're not equipped to make the diagnosis. Obviously, the people who know skin best, skin, hair and nails, are dermatologists. You can tell that you're seeing a specialist dermatologist by looking for the letters FACD after their name, which means they're a fellow of the Australasian College of Dermatologists. Mm. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to see a dermatologist, but your treatment is only as good as the diagnosis that is made and the knowledge and expertise of the person treating you. The device is very much a secondary and tertiary factor.
Okay. We've obviously opened this up to my listeners. If you do have a question here, the number to call is 1300 222 702. Asha is on the line. Good afternoon, Asha.
Oh, hello there. Hello, Ritu.
Hi.
I hope this is a relevant question. It's not exactly the things you've been talking about, but it is to do with my skin and the colour of it. So I'm a 50-year-old woman. I suspect I'm going through peri or menopause. I've definitely got symptoms of it. I have a very, very stressful situation that I'm going through at the moment, and it's coming out in various physical ways. And this week, I noticed this red patch across my cheeks. And I thought, that's weird. My skin's normally really good. And I just kind of ignored it for a bit. And the red patch was getting angrier and flakier. And I thought, what is that? And then I thought, maybe it's not my skin. Maybe it's my stress levels. So I kind of did some Googling, and I was reading about the effect of cortisol and, you know, eczema, sort of stress-related eczema. And I thought...
It doesn't really sound like that. I mean, is it only on one side, one cheek, or both cheeks?
It's more on one side than the other.
It's more likely to be something, you know, that you've come in. I mean, I can't say, obviously, without examination, but it could be something you've come into contact with. It could be, you know, an inflammation of some type. I mean, stress in the skin, stress certainly makes certain skin conditions worse, like eczema and psoriasis. It doesn't really cause a rash per se in someone who's not already predisposed to having those rashes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it sounds like, Asha, maybe it's time to go to the GP.
Yeah, I mean, give it a week or so, and if it's not settling or if it's getting worse, then it probably needs to be looked at.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Good luck, Asha. I'm sorry to hear you're going through a stressful time. I hope you sort it all out.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right. Thanks, Asha.
Asha.
I'll put a couple of texts to you, Ritu. This one here, I have what my GP thinks is a BCC on my upper arm. Should I ask for, I think it's an acronym, MOHS, M-O-H-S.
MOHS surgery, yeah.
Yeah, or is ordinary surgery enough to remove it?
Well, again, I mean, you know, you need the pathology in front of you, but usually on the upper arm, there's plenty of spare skin. Standard surgical excision is more than adequate for a BCC. MOHS is a type of specialised surgery where they map the roots of the skin cancer as they go. It's named after a fellow called Freddie MOHS, and it's done by dermatologists who've done additional training in that procedure. I'm not a MOHS surgeon. So MOHS surgery is usually reserved for skin cancers that are either extremely aggressive, or mostly it's for skin cancers in tricky areas like the tip of the nose, the top of the ear, on the just above the lip, areas where tissue preservation is really the paramount factor. So you're trying to minimise the amount of tissue you take. So you map it as you cut it out rather than just cutting it with a safety margin and stitching it up.
I'm speaking with Ritu Gupta, dermatologist, here on 702 ABC Sydney Afternoons, where it's coming up to 19 minutes past 2 o'clock. We're focusing on pigmentation today. You might have some questions about that. If you do, 1300 222 702 is the number to call, or the text line 0477 0467 922 702. But pigmentation isn't your only expertise, Ritu. So we're happy to hear from anybody. But pigmentation was where we were hoping to take the conversation today. I'll put another text to you here. How can I get rid of spider veins between my ankles and calves, please?
Well, they need to be assessed. So if you've got no symptoms of sort of aching, bursting pain at the end of the day, and you don't have any big, bulgy, compressible blood vessels, which would indicate sort of deeper, what's called venous incompetence, where the valves in the veins are not working properly and the flow of the blood in the vein is not heading back to the heart, but it's just pooling in the vessels. If they're what are called superficial, what you might be calling spider veins, they can be treated very nicely with a type of vascular laser. Not a great time of year to have them treated, because they look, what I say to patients is they look worse before they look better. And they usually, it's about 4 to 6 weeks between treatments. So we usually start treating those at the beginning of the cooler months, sort of March, mid-April. That way people are all fixed up before the warmer weather hits.
You're listening to 702 ABC Sydney Afternoons, where I'm speaking with dermatologist Ritu Gupta. If you've got any questions, please do call in. We've been chatting about a range of issues here today, primarily pigmentation. But this one here, Ritu, from one of my listeners, a text here. I have a close female friend and she has painful cracks on her hands all the time. What causes it, please, and how, please, can she cure this extremely painful condition? I appreciate, Ritu, that it's hard for you to make this.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, diagnoses over the phone, like just from hearing stories. But, you know, any suggestions for this person of where they could go, what they could do?
I mean, that is a complicated one. That sounds like she needs a dermatologist, because what's called the differential diagnosis, which means a list of possibilities that it could be, are quite wide. It could be hand dermatitis related to allergic contact dermatitis, developing an allergy to something you're in contact with, depending upon her work and the sorts of things that she's in contact with. It could be irritant contact dermatitis from overwashing. It could be just underlying what's called atopic eczema that's part of her. It could be psoriasis. So there's a number of different things it could be. And then there are some other weird and wonderful rarer conditions. That definitely needs a visit to the GP and most likely a referral to a dermatologist.
Okay. Claire is on the line with a question. Hi there, Claire.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. What's your question for Ritu?
Hi, Claire.
Hi, when I was growing up, and I still have moles on my face and I hated them, and now my son's unfortunately inherited that from me and he's only 8, and I don't know if it's better to have it removed now or to wait until he's grown up and have them removed.
From a cosmetic point of view?
Yes.
From
like
an appearance point of view?
Scar tissue and
Are they raised moles or flat moles?
So they're flat, but as you get older they become raised.
Your ones are raised. Look,
but they were,
you know,
when I was his age.
Yeah. Look, from a cosmetic point of view, they could potentially be treated with laser. But often the thing with children and doing laser on moles in younger people is their cells have such a drive to reoccur and proliferate that they just keep coming back. So I would probably say if he's only 8, I would just wait until at least he's sort of 16. I would also counsel him that really important is sun protection, reapplication of sunscreen and all that slip, slop, slap, seek, slide, because if he doesn't like the moles or if you suspect that he won't like the moles, the best way to prevent them...
To
prevent them from becoming more prominent is sun protection. And also that helps prevent him from getting more.
Hope that helps, Claire.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. You're listening to 702 ABC Sydney Afternoons, where it's coming up to 23 minutes past 2 o'clock. Do you have melasma, dark patches on your body, pigmentation, and not sure how to get rid of us? Give me a call. 1300 222 702 is the number. Ritu Gupta is here to answer questions for you. Rachel has called in on pigmentation. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
What's your
question?
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I've lost. It's almost like I've got white patches. Like I've been, if I had a black pair of tracksuit pants and spilled bleach on them, that's what's happening to parts of my body. On my wrists, the particularly in the crook of my arm and on my upper thigh and under my breast.
Interesting. So that's loss of pigmentation you're talking about, Rachel. Yes. So there's a number of different things. Again, I mean, obviously assessment, that's again probably going to be one for the dermatologist from the sound of it. It could be potentially vitiligo, which is an autoimmune condition where you lose pigment, made famous because Michael Jackson reckoned he had it and that's why he got his skin all bleached. As to whether he really had it or not, I don't know. It could be what's called hypopigmentation, so just reduction of pigment because you had inflammation or a rash there. And then there are a couple of other more unusual things, morphea and you know, other potential causes. So rather than worry yourself about it, I think if you've got this in several areas, it needs assessment. So again, you should go and see your GP about this one.
Yeah, like many years ago, I mean, I laughed, but I was cranky, but I had a mole removed from my back and then I developed like a big bruise around it. It wasn't sore or anything. And the dermatologist, you know, took 5 seconds to say, oh, it was morphea or something. I wouldn't die.
Yeah. So this could be morphea.
All right.
Okay. So even the bleaching could be that.
Yep. That was my number three in my differential diagnosis. But again, you know, don't worry yourself about it. Go and get it looked at because it should be treated.
Rachel, thank you.
Well, I'm not going to die of it, but anyway.
No, of course not. Rachel, but still,
go and get it checked out. Thank you very much for calling in. Julia's with us now. Hi, Julia.
Oh, good afternoon, ladies. I have a 4-year-old grandson who is very fair, platinum blonde hair, and he has on one of his legs at the very lower part of his leg, he's developed a little raised kind of little mole. And I'm just wondering, it's only tiny, like a couple of mils or so across. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, is that something that needs to be urgently looked at for someone that young or...?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, it's probably, it could be a birthmark. So people classically think birthmarks occur at birth, and certainly a percentage of them do. But the definition of a birthmark is something that occurs before the age of 5. So it could be a birthmark type of mole. In terms of moles being worrying in children, fortunately, the incidence of melanoma in children is very, very low. Times when people should be worried and get their kids' moles checked are if something is growing really rapidly out of proportion to the rate that they are growing, or if something's very black or changing, then it should be looked at. But otherwise, typically with kids, they're acquiring moles as they're getting sun exposure, going back to my previous point with another caller. Yeah. And also they're still acquiring moles until they're about sort of, you know, often mid-20s. But this could be a birthmark type of mole, given that he's so young.
Yeah, speaking from someone who's had a melanoma and my father melanoma, it's kind of in the family. So I kind of wanted to, just the urgency. They will get it checked next time they go to the GP, but just whether they need to rush there or not.
Yeah, I don't think so, based on what you've said.
Thanks,
fantastic.
Julia.
Thank you.
Good of you to call.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Samantha's on the line with a question around melasma, I believe. Hi, Samantha.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Ritu. How are you?
Very well.
I have seen a dermatologist about melasma on my face. I'm from a Indian background and... Yep. It's on both sides of my cheeks and it seems to have increased in the last sort of 5 years. I am 53. He's treated me with some TXA, I think.
And transexamic acid,
which has faded it, and also some cream, but I can't remember what's in the cream. But it seems to fade, but it definitely comes back when I exercise or am in the sun. I was just asking about sunscreen and laser as well, which he hasn't recommended, but I was just wondering what your opinion was on that.
Yeah, look, melasma is such a tricky condition because it is a condition. It's not like treating pigmentation that's related to sun damage where you can treat it, get it clear, Educate the patient about prevention and jobs done. Yeah. Melasma is something where clearance, the price of clearance is eternal vigilance. And the mainstay of management for melasma is sunscreen, 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 reapplication of sunscreen, then pigment inhibiting serums, prescription creams, sometimes prescription tablets, and then lasers and what are called energy-based devices, which means they're kind of like lasers, but they're not actually lasers, can be used carefully in melasma, but it's only certain lasers help melasma, and I would really strongly urge that if you have melasma, particularly with Indian or subcontinental skin, and melasma is certainly more common in darker skins, in Asian skin, in subcontinental skin than Anglo-Saxons, then you really want to be going to a specialist practice, you know, dermatologist practice or plastic surgeon's practice, where they or their staff are treating you or they're the ones guiding the treatment. Have a chat to your dermatologist about it. They'll be able to, either they'll be able to do it, or they'll be able to, if they don't have that particular type of device, they'll be able to recommend.
Sure. Excellent. And sunscreen, besides, like, is it an iron oxide sunscreen, something
like
that?
Yeah, look, the best sunscreens, actually, if I say on our website, my website, Dr. Refresh, there is an article I wrote about how to choose a good sunscreen, which sort of goes through it. But for melasma in particular, we want a sunscreen, plus we want something with a tint, because we now know that melasma is also made worse by visible light, which is the light that comes, you know, from the light globes, et cetera. And you want ideally a combination of a physical and a chemical blocking sunscreen. So there are some good ones. Neutrogena, Helioplex, La Roche-Posay, they're available at the chemist. Using it and reapplying at least twice a day.
Okay. I hope that helps. Thanks, Samantha.
Thank you.
We've got about a minute left before we head to the news headlines, and we'll take a call from Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I had melanoma decades ago, so I've had these regular full skin checks. So back in August, my skin specialist saw something inside my eyelid. Of my right eye. And so now he's referred me to an ocular surgeon. There's just that there was a couple of words on the referral that I wasn't sure of, but it says asymptomatic, lower eyelid margin, non-pigmented erythematous lesion.
Erythematous. That just means red.
Yeah. So I was wondering, have you ever dealt with anything like that?
So if there's a red spot, I mean, this goes right back to the beginning of the conversation that we had. So if there's something that is not going, there's a reason. So if you've got a red spot on your eyelid that's not going, it needs to be looked at. So it could be a little skin cancer, it could be a precancerous spot, but the point is, being where it is, it's not an area that dermatologists typically would take a biopsy of, because we don't have the instruments for it. And that's why he or she's referred you, not necessarily because they're, you know, think it's something terrible, but just because proper assessment is not really something that they can do. You know, there are some other things it could be. It could be a mole, but it would be a bit odd for an adult to suddenly develop a red mole in that area. That doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily be, you know, worrying yourself that it's a melanoma or anything like that. I think the key thing is, you know, your specialist thinks it needs further assessment, so definitely make sure you know, go to that appointment.
All the very best with that, Mary. Yes. Thank you for calling in. And Ritu, thank you so much answering all those questions.
We talked about lots of things.
Didn't we indeed? a little bit on what we thought we were talking about, pigmentation, but that's right. The skin, it's our largest organ. It impacts people in so many different ways, doesn't it?
So many ways.
Ritu Gupta, thank you very much.